the rebellious one who has been expelled from the kingdom of God's extra mercy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I seek the assistance of Allah in this talk of mine, because He's the absolute perfect being. To Him belong all the excellent attributes. Principal amongst which are that He is Rahman, meaning that His Rahmah and love and mercy reach out to each and every particle in the universe for every moment of its existence. And that He is Rahim, meaning that His extra love and extra mercy is directed specifically to those amongst us who believe in Him and who follow His guidance. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise belong to Allah, because He is the All Perfect One. Because all perfection, from any agent of perfection to any recipient of perfection, all stems and flows from Him. And because He is the Master and the Cherisher and the Nourisher and the Maintainer of the universe. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. And our deepest salutations and greetings on the last prophet of God, who was the most humblest and the most submissive servant of God, and therefore reached the highest spiritual status, whereby he could then receive the most comprehensive and final message of God for mankind. And so also our salutations and greetings on his holy progeny. Scholars of Islam, elders in Islam, brethren in Islam, Salamun Alaikum. We commemorate this eve the demise of the most beloved wife of the Holy Prophet, the holy personality of Khadija, the daughter of Khuwaylid. The Prophet of Islam married her when he was 25 years of age and stayed with her for 25 years, during which period he did not take a second consort or a second wife. 15 years prior to the first revelation, he stayed with her, and she died 9 years plus after the first revelation. The position and status she occupied is reflected in the memories that the Prophet had of her, even when he later on got married to other wives. For example, one of the wives of the Prophet was Aisha, who narrates that the Prophet kada la yakhruju min al-bayt hatta yadhkura Khadija wa yuhsinu thana'a 'alayha. It was almost a daily routine of the Prophet that he would remember Khadija. So on one occasion I protested. I said, hal kanat illa 'ajuza وَقَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. Well, she was just an old woman. She died when she was 60 years of age. And God has given you better women than her. She did two things. She demoted the status of Khadija. She promoted the status of other women compared to her. And the Prophet's response was that of anger. One point before I proceed. If we say the Prophet of Islam had managed to reach the highest status possible for any human being, and he was most humblest and submissive before God, that means all his thoughts and feelings and his character revolved around God. If he liked someone, it was for the sake of God. If he disliked someone, it was for the sake of God. If he liked a woman, it's because she reflected to her capacity the beauty and the perfection and the glory of God. So if Aisha reports to us that a man like the Prophet always remembered this first wife of his, it tells us of the high status she occupied, because the Prophet by nature would not like or dislike anything but that which God loves or hates. The Prophet got angry at this protest of Aisha and he responded by saying, La wallah, I swear by my Lord, ma abdalani Allahu khayran minha. God has never given me a better woman than her. Amanat bi iz kafara an-nas. The day when everyone rejected me, she accepted me. The fact that you can have a woman who's so mature to be able to be constantly in the state of reflection and looking for reality, and the moment she was exposed to that final truth, she accepted it. That's a virtue. And the Prophet acknowledges it. Amanat bi iz kafara an-nas. Saddaqatni iz kazzabani an-nas. She testified on my behalf. She accepted me the day when others turned their face away from me. Wawasatni bima liha iz harramani an-nas. When the others denied me, she was abundant in her generosity toward me with her finances and her wealth. If the 3 years of boycott of the Prophet of Islam in Sha'b Abi Talib, where there was a total denial of all sort of contact for the Prophet and his followers, 3 years of starvation. You know, when the Iran-Iraq war was going on and when the sanctions started bearing its pressure on the Iranian nation, Imam Khomeini Marhum addressed the people. He says, though we are in a difficult economic position, but it's still in no comparison to the degree of troubles that the Prophet and his followers went through in those initial years. And Khadija maintained them during that time. Peace be upon her. وَرَزَقَنِي اللَّهُ مِنْهَا أَوْلَادًا دُونَ غَيْرِهَا مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. And God granted me children through her and not through any other woman. Basically, we believe as Muslims, as the Quran instructs us, that the wives of the Prophet are different women from others. They've got a higher status. I wish to discuss the status that the wives of the Prophet occupied, but specifically so, therefore, the status occupied by Khadija, so that we may learn lessons for our lives, both for our men and for our women. In Surah Ahzab, chapter 33, ayah number 6, Allah says, "An-Nabiyyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim." The Prophet, by virtue of him being the representative of God, and therefore whatever he does and says and thinks and feels is nothing but what God inspires him to do. Because he had submitted himself totally to God, whatever wish therefore enters him is from God. Therefore he has total authority over the believers in all aspects of their lives. Not only is he a judge whose judgment has to be accepted in the court of law, not only is the head of the political authority, but also in social affairs, in economic affairs, in cultural affairs, even in our family affairs. No, even in our private personal affairs, if he makes a decision, he has priority over our personal wishes. An-Nabiyyu awla bil-mu'minina min anfusihim. By virtue of the fact that he's a representative of God. And the next part of the ayah then says, wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. And the wives of the Prophet, the consorts of the Prophet, they are the mothers of the believers. To be a mother, you can be a biological mother who gives birth to a person. You can be a mother by breastfeeding. But the motherhood referred to here is the spiritual motherhood. The special status that they occupied rendered them superior in one sense to all the believers, because they then became role models by the virtue of their proximity to the Prophet. They had higher spirituality compared to the other believers, but with a condition. Observe. In Surah Ahzab again, chapter 33, ayah number 28 onwards,
Ya ayyuhan nabi. The address is specific to the Prophet or the Messenger. قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ. Tell your wives. إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ أُمَتِّعْكُنَّ وَأُسَرِّحْكُنَّ سَرَاحًا جَمِيلًا. As the Prophet established his power and authority in Medina, and when they started facing opposition from the mushrikeen, and when the battles and the wars were fought, and when the war booty and the spoils started pouring into Medina, and riches started appearing, the wives of the Prophet started making their requests and demands. Umm Salama said, I would like a maidservant to help me at home. Hafsa, she said, I want this particular dress that is from Yemen. Sauda says, you know that carpet that you got from Khaybar? I would like that. Zainab bin Jahsh, she made requests for some more dresses. And each wife had some request or the other. Not only that, they made demands. Some of them even went to the extent of saying, if you do not give me this, don't think I cannot find a man other than you if I leave you. The Prophet kept silent. The Prophet showed his displeasure at this attitude by distancing himself slightly from the wives, up until such time when this ayah came down. Tell your women, tell your consorts, make a choice. If you want the passing pleasures of this world, then I am free with you. I will give you what your needs are. I will give you your mahar. I will give you even more than that. I will be generous with you. I will release you. You can go freely and do whatever you want. Ayah number 28. وَإِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِذْنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ. But if on the other hand you seek God, you seek Prophet, you seek the heavenly life in the next hereafter. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. Then surely God has promised, and what God promises, He fulfills, because He has the power to do so. Then God has promised, for those amongst you who are virtuous, for them there is a great reward. Notice that the condition for the spiritual superiority of the wives of the Prophet over the Ummah has been predicated on the fact that they should be believers. One, the fact that not only should they believe, but they should be committed to this belief to the extent that they seek God. Can you imagine a person who's lost in the desert and seeking water? He's restless. Everywhere he looks, he's got one goal and one purpose. He's seeking something and he wants it. If you seek God and you seek the Prophet and you seek the next life, that means in all aspects of your life, the dominant attitude, the color that colors your life is the fact that you want to please God, not your wishes. You want to please the Prophet, not your own personal desires. You want to make akhirah, you're ready to sacrifice. If this is the attitude, then let me inform you, God the All-Powerful One, God the All-Loving One, He has promised something. No. He's not only promised. A'adda. He's already prepared it. It's ready. A great reward. You see, we as Muslims believe that Jannah is not something that will be created. It is already present. Look at the words of the ayah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ. He's already prepared. لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ. For those amongst you who are virtuous, a great reward. You see, first of all, we believe that the universe is not confined to this physical dimension. There is a spiritual dimension and there are other dimensions. A. B. When the Prophet went for Mi'raj, he already saw Jannah. He entered Jannah. Whereas Qiyamah has not yet come. There is a dimension in this universe where Jannah already exists. Thirdly, when he went there, he saw the process of Jannah being constructed. When he saw the angels laying down a brick of silver or gold to build a palace, and they stopped. And they would build and they would stop. And they would build and they would stop. The Prophet inquired this curious behavior, and the angels explained The law of the universe is such that God has instructed us that when a believer does anything positive in his A or B or C, in his actions, or in his belief, or in his character, we lay down something for him in Jannah. Jannah is already there, but it's empty. We are constructing it moment by our ABC, by our actions and belief and character. In fact, Imam Khomeini gives a beautiful contrast. He says, even Jahannam is already there, but it is cool. We are the one who light it up. Imam Ali in Dua Kumail, he reminds us, had Salaam Allahu Alaihi. Had it not been in your wisdom and in your decree that you would only send those people who know the truth and reject it. The kafir, the mu'anid, the one who receives the truth, he understands what the truth is and deliberately rejects it. Had you not decreed that you will send such people to Jahannam, Jahannam would have been cool. So look at the words of the ayah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَدَّ لِلْمُحْسِنَاتِ مِنْكُنَّ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. We have promised a grand reward. It's not me and you talking about grandeur. It's the majestic Lord of the universe talking about grandeur. You want a glimpse of the grandeur that's promised for those people who do good? Look at this ayah in Surah Ali Imran chapter 3, verse number 133. God says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. Strive, move ahead toward getting the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ. Strive for the Jannah. عَرْضُهَا. The width and the expanse of that Jannah is عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's the entire heavens and the earth. Ayatollah Jawadi Amali used to narrate this hadith for his students. He says, in Bihar al-Anwar, this hadith is there that if a mu'min, of course, who has reached that particular state in Jannah, wants to invite all the people in the world, and he becomes the host, and they become the guest, the expanse of his Jannah will allow him to do that. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Ayah number 133 finishes by saying that this has already been prepared, it is ready. But for those people who are God conscious, if we respect the wife of the Prophet, any one of them, it's because she has this attitude and it's because she has striven for it. And amongst them, Khadija was the most superior one. That's why we respect her the most. And so, that's why the Prophet said, أَفْضَلُ نِسَاءِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The most superior and the best women who will be in Jannah, and they have struggled for it, and they have worked hard for it, and therefore God rewards them. Four of them are there. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Muhammad, Asiya bint Muzahim, and Maryam bint Imran. Women who are role models because of their A, B, and C. Ayah number 30 then says, Ya Nisa al-Nabi. Now this is a warning. All wives of the Prophet. مَنْ يَأْتِ مِنْكُنَّ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ. Whosoever amongst you performs an indecent act, a public display of indecency. يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنَ. She will be doubly punished. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. And that is not difficult for God to punish doubly someone. Why? You see, these women are supposed to be our role models, both for the males and for the females. The fact that they are role models, one, the fact that they are with the Prophet and therefore they learn directly the commands of God, two. You know, we are told in the hadith that يُغْفَرُ لِلْجَاهِلِ سَبْعُونَ ذَنْبًا قَبْلَ أَنْ يُغْفَرَ لِلْعَالِمِ ذَنْبٌ وَاحِدٌ. If a person is ignorant, God will forgive 70 sins of his before he forgives even one sin of a person who is knowledgeable. The responsibility grows with knowledge. In fact, Ayatollah Jawadi Amali would warn his students, he would say that, be very careful. As a scholar, you're walking a tightrope. Next to you is Jahannam. One mistake and you go down. Whereas a jahil walks very far away from Jahannam. He makes one mistake, he falls down, he doesn't slip down. He can stand up and walk again. A second mistake, stand up and walk again. A third, and he walks up and goes ahead. But an alim, he's got a higher responsibility. The fact there is double punishment for people who occupy a position of responsibility and proximity to the Prophet. That's why there's double punishment for them. Third of all, they're related to the Prophet. And therefore when they do some mistake, the Prophet's name is also spoiled. So for these multiple reasons, God promises multiple punishments for people who have got leadership responsibilities. They're wives of the Prophet. But this punishment is not only for them. It's to them by virtue of their being role models. Anyone therefore in society occupies such a position needs to be very careful. Ayah number 30. وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ But whosoever amongst you is obedient لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ For God and toward the Prophet. وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا And then she performs virtuous acts. Then for her, أَعْتَدْنَا لَهَا رِزْقًا كَرِيمًا For her we have made available already provisions which are abundant. If the Prophet remembered Khadija, it's because she was qanit. She had qunut. She had this obedience to the truth. It's because she was virtuous in her actions, not because of anything else. The next ayah then says, يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ O wives of the Prophet, you are not like ordinary women. When you make the decision to become the wives of the Prophet, you are now extraordinary. Because now your marriage is not a usual marriage. The person you're married to is not a usual person. Therefore the responsibilities you have are not the normal, ordinary responsibilities of other women. You're different. People occupy responsible leadership positions, they're different. The responsibilities are different. If that's the case, you are different because of one particular feature. لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إِنِ اتَّقَيْتُنَّ If you have taqwa, fasting helps us achieve taqwa. Taqwa becomes the core inseparable personality of a Muslim. And that is the means of distinguishing a person from others, including the wives of the Prophet. So long as they have taqwa, they're different. So long as they don't have taqwa, they're equal to ordinary, even worse than ordinary people. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ So now when you meet other people, display respect, display modesty, do not talk in an ordinary tone with other people. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضُ Because there are some people who are sick in their hearts. When you talk softly to them, they get attracted. وَقُلْنَا قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا So the manner of your speaking and the message of your speaking should be proper. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ And you must display modesty by remaining in your homes and not exposing yourself in the indecent manner in which women in the jahiliyyah used to expose themselves. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَا تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ And establish prayers. That means be in constant contact with God. And give out in charity. That means have the constant concern of the poor in heart. وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهُ Basically the attitude throughout your life should be one of obedience to God and one to Prophet. This is ayah number 33. The ayah ends of course by saying, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمْ رِجْزَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا Surely God has willed and decreed to remove all sorts of impurities from you, O Ahlul Bayt, the members of the household, and to purify you a thorough and complete purification. Notice, in the Arabic language, all the preceding verses, verse number 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, address the women of the household of the Prophet in the feminine form. But when it comes to the last part of ayah number 33, it suddenly changes to a masculine form. That's one single reason we believe this ayah is different from the preceding ayah. Not only that, we say that this Ahlul Bayt here, who are purified, refers to only five people, and that is the Holy Prophet, and Imam Ali, and his wife Fatima, and the two sons, Hassan and Hussein, because of the following reasons. A, because even the wives of the Prophet themselves narrated to us when this ayah was revealed, the Prophet gathered these five people separately. Secondly, after this ayah was revealed for about 6 months, or according to some traditions 8 months, according to a third group of traditions 9 months, whenever the Prophet used to go to the mosque, he would pass by the home of Imam Ali and Fatima and say, As-salah, as-salah, innama yuridullahu liyuzhiba ankum ar-rijsa ahl al-bayt wa yutahhirakum tathira. Thirdly, the numerous traditions narrated about the hadith of Kisa clearly indicate the Ahlul Bayt are only five. Fourthly, there are a group of traditions which say specifically that this ayah was revealed only for these five people. There is no doubt in anyone's mind, because almost 130 traditions from 70 different sources of the Ahlul Sunnah and from almost 1,000 sources of Shia books indicate that this ayah refers only to the Ahlul Bayt and not to the other women. When one of the wives of the Prophet said, "What about me?" And the Prophet said, "Tanahhi, keep your distance. فَإِنَّكِ عَلَى خَيْرٍ. You are at your own status of virtue, but not as virtuous as these people." But by far, amongst all the wives of the Prophet, Khadija stood out and shone brilliantly. And in summary, the reason for that, as designated in these verses, were number one, taqwa; number two, because she sought the Prophet and God and the next life; number three, she was not attracted by the physical pleasures of this world; and number four, she maintained modesty. Let's pray to Allah to give us the tawfiq to be able to appreciate why God gives a high status to some men and women, because they are in the leadership position, and therefore we should have the tawfiq whenever we accept leadership responsibilities that we follow the same virtues. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. From shaitan, the rebellion.